we're continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark. If you turn to Mark chapter 5 this morning, Mark chapter 5, we'll be looking at the first 20 verses of that chapter. And I'll start reading from verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked them, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw that it told them, how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You know, there are some people in the world today who would probably tell you that there's no such thing as demons, that there's no such thing as Satan, that he really doesn't exist. But the scriptures paint a different picture. And the fact that Satan is a real person in the world today, he controls evil spirits. These evil spirits, called demons, are invisible. We can't see them most of the time. They can, in the world today, take possession of a person. These evil spirits can also take possession of animals, as we see here in this passage. And the Lord Jesus confronted a man who had evil spirits in him that were possessing him. And we see in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus came into the region of the Gadarenes, and he got out of the ship, and there was a man. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, the tombs here is reference to a cemetery. And we see in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This man lived among the tombs. He lived in the cemetery. That was his home. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, I could think of better places to live than around a some dead people in a cemetery, you know. But this man was there, and the demon-possessed man. It says in verse 3 that no man could bind him. No one could chain him down. No person could subdue this poor man at all. And we see that he was bound in verse 4 with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And this man had shackles on his feet. He had handcuffs that were made of chains. And you would think a normal person who had these things, these shackles and chains on them, that, you know, there's nothing they can do. They can't go anywhere. They can't walk. They can't move around. But this man had wrenched apart the handcuffs that were on him. He had torn apart the shackles on his feet. And no one could equal this man's physical strength. Can you imagine the strength it would take to break chains and shackles, metal shackles? It would take an enormous amount of physical strength to break these things. This man had that strength, unfortunately for him. And another characteristic of this man we see in verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. In other words, he was screaming and shrieking at the top of his voice. As he lived in the cemetery, he cut himself. He took rocks and cut himself, his arms, his legs, his body. Call that self-mutilation. And if you were to look at somebody like this, you know, I was reading this, and this poor tormented man, you know, he couldn't control himself. The demons that possessed him controlled him. He couldn't control what he said. He couldn't control his behavior. And the man was totally and completely under the control of these devils, of these evil spirits. And the man lived, if you were to look at him and observe his behavior, you would say, well, this man's insane. He's lost his mind. He's crazy. That would be, you know, our evaluation of him. But the problem with this man is that he was demon-possessed, you see. And the Lord Jesus had stopped there, especially to see this man. And we see in verse 6 that the Lord Jesus had got out of the boat he was in. And it says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That word worship means he bowed down before the Lord Jesus. And the man gave Jesus the respect he deserved. And the demons recognized Jesus' authority over them. And we see that in verse 7, an interesting fact that the demon recognized the Lord and who he was. Verse 7 says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. The demon recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He knew who he was. He says, what have I to do with you? In other words, what is there in common between us? Indeed, what is in common between the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan? Is there anything in common? Of course not. And we see that this poor man, this tormented poor man, who had no control over himself, but was controlled by these demons. And we see in verse 8, or another thing in verse 7, you notice at the end of verse 7 it says, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. The demons felt they were being tormented in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting there. And you and I would not certainly not be tormented in the presence of the Lord. We would welcome that, wouldn't we? But not these demons, not the demon-possessed man. And in verse 8, the Lord was saying, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The Lord was commanding the demons to come out. And I said demons, plural, as we'll see in a few minutes. Commanding the demons to come out of him. And I think in verse 8 we see the fact, or in this whole passage, we see the fact that there's only one person that can command demons, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine going up to Satan or to a demon and ordering, I command you not to, to leave me alone and to go away or come out of this person? Now, it's true that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us in during that hour of temptation when Satan tempts us. But for us to command demons or command Satan, brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have that power or authority. There's only one person who can command the demons, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we see that in verse 9, another interesting fact about this demon-possessed man. The Lord asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, in those days, the Roman Empire had soldiers stationed in the nation of Israel, and they divided themselves into legions. The number of soldiers in a Roman legion was 6,000. So we see that there were literally thousands of demons possessing this man. Can you imagine? Not just one, but thousands. No wonder he would take the chains and break them and break apart the shatters, the shackles that were on his hands and feet. Because there were more than a thousand demons inside this man. That's where he got his enormous strength, his enormous physical strength. And we see that a question may arise in our minds, how can thousands of demons be inside one person? Well, you have to understand that demons or evil spirits are invisible. You can't see them. So it's possible for thousands of them to be possessing one person, to be inside one person and controlling them. And as we see in this passage, this poor man, this poor tormented man, had absolutely no control over himself. The demons controlled him. And we see in verse 10 that the demons were, they begged the Lord Jesus, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. The demons begged the Lord that they would not send him away. They needed or they wanted someone else to possess, you see. That was their goal. In verse 11, we see that there was in the mountains near the place where they were, there was a great herd of swine or pigs feeding. And one of the things that came to my mind about the herd of pigs, if these people were Jews, what were they doing around pigs? Because if you read in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the pig is an unclean animal to the Jews. They won't have anything to do with pork chops, bacon, or anything like that. Because the Lord had instructed them not to eat a pig. And it was an unclean animal to the nation of Israel. And if these Jewish people were the herders of these pigs, they were committing a great sin against God in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law. But in verse 12, we see that the evil spirits, the demons, besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. The demons asked the Lord permission to possess these pigs. And I think it's something very instructive right here in verse 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ had power and authority over the demons. They had to ask him permission to leave and to go into these pigs. And we understand that there, you know, I understand and you understand there's plenty of people out there in the world today who would tell you that Satan and God, that Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ are on an equal footing, that they're both have the same amount of power. It's kind of like a big struggle, you see, between Satan and God, and we don't know who's going to win. God may win, Satan may win. But according to the scriptures, that's not true. It's not true. Because God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has power and authority over the demons and over Satan. Can you imagine if the Lord took off all the restraints against Satan and his demons as far as we're concerned? We'd all be dead right now. It's only by his divine protection that we are not consumed by or possessed by demons or even destroyed. So we see that the demons had to ask permission from the Lord to leave and go into the herd of pigs. And in verse 13, it says that Jesus gave them, permitted them to leave this man and to go into the pigs, to enter the herd of pigs. It says the unclean spirits went out in verse 13 and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked or drowned in the sea. Well, the question may arise, why would the Lord Jesus allow demons to go into the pigs? Well, I think, first of all, we have to understand the Lord did not want these demons to enter other people. So he allowed them, permitted them to possess the pigs, you see. And in verse 13, we see the number of demons, 2,000. There were at least 2,000 demons possessing this man. Can you imagine? And the demons went into this the herd of pigs. And they ran violently down the steep hill there and jumped right into the ocean. How would you like to have a herd of 2,000 pigs heading toward in your direction? A herd of 2,000 demon-possessed pigs heading in your direction. I say, you can forget the bacon and the pork chops. I'm getting out of here. But we see that demons do have the power to possess animals. And you, I can imagine the herdsmen or the people who were keeping these pigs, all of a sudden they saw the pigs go nuts. They started acting in a crazy, non-pig-like way, you know. And they took off and they jumped into the ocean and they were all drowned. And we see in verse 14... that the keepers of the pigs in verse 14, they fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. The pig farmers, they were scared. They were scared to death and frightened about what they had just seen. And the people were used to having this demon possessed man around. And all of a sudden in verse 15, they noticed this man. They had noticed what had happened to him in verse 15. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devils and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here was this man who was formerly demon possessed, sitting and clothed. And by the way, the other gospel accounts had, this man, people tried to put clothes on him. Of course, he ripped them all off. But here in verse 15, we see him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. He was no longer irrational. He was no longer under the control of demons. For the first time, maybe in possibly years, this man had relief from the clutches of Satan. And we see that, and you know, I don't want to read something into this passage that's not here. And I don't want to misinterpret anything and mislead you. But I see some similarities here between what had happened with the Lord Jesus and his casting out these demons. And these demons, or the poor man that was controlled by these demons, was chained. He was chained and shackled up. Is it not true that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, were we not chained by the shackles of sin? In the scriptures you read that we were slaves to sin before we knew Christ. We did what our sin nature, we followed that. We did what the sin nature led. Satan could tempt us without any problem. But when Jesus Christ came into our lives, those chains, those shackles of sin were totally and completely broken in our lives. That we had been freed from the shackles and chains of sin. Doesn't mean we don't have the sin nature, because we still do. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in our standing in His eyes, He looks at us now as perfect and holy. We're not wicked, evil sinners anymore in His sight. And this man, who was the formerly demon-possessed man, was sitting there, and the people noticed him, and word spread rapidly concerning this demon-possessed man, because the pig farmers and the other people who saw this great, incredible miracle went back and told it to the people. And in verse 17, it says, "And they began to pray him," that is, to the Lord, "to depart out of their regions," out of their coasts. They asked the Lord to get out of here and leave us alone. That's basically what the people were saying to the Lord Jesus. Now, why would a group of people tell the Lord that? You would think that after this incredible, wonderful miracle that the Lord performed, you would think that they would be grateful and ask the Lord Jesus to come into their town, into their village, and cast out demons and heal people of their sicknesses and their afflictions. But they didn't do that. They said, "Jesus, you get out of here. We don't want you around here." Why would they say such a thing? I think one of the reasons is that they had hardness of heart. They had rejected the Lord Jesus in their own minds, in their own hearts. Well, what if the Lord Jesus performed these miracles and they saw the Lord there, why wouldn't they believe in Him? Because of the hardness of their hearts. You recall, and I've mentioned this before, at the tomb of Lazarus, when Lazarus, a man who had been dead 4 days in the grave, that the Lord raised him up and resurrected him from the dead, there were people there who saw this great miracle, who believed in the Lord Jesus, but there were people there who saw this miracle who refused to believe in the Lord because of the hardness of their hearts, their unbelief. And I think another reason why they asked the Lord to leave is fear. And the people were so afraid of the demon-possessed man that Jesus' miracles compounded in their fear and confusion. The Lord Jesus came into their region. He upset the status quo. Here's a man who was totally and completely possessed by demons. Nobody could do anything with him. Nobody could chain him. Nobody could tame him. He was like a wild animal. But the Lord Jesus came into their region and cast those demons, those devils, out of this man. And I think another reason, and this is probably a minor reason, that they asked the Lord Jesus to leave is because of an economic loss of 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. 2,000 in a herd of pigs. And that would cost some people money, a financial loss to some people in this particular case. And they saw their way of life, their herd of pigs go down the tubes when they jumped into the sea. And there goes our income, you know, and we got to get this guy Jesus out of here. And in verse 18, we read that when he was come, that is, the Lord went back into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. The formerly demon-possessed man wanted to follow the Lord and be his disciple. Isn't that incredible? What an incredible turnaround in this man's life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ makes a difference in our lives, in your life, in the lives of the people of this world. Jesus Christ can literally turn around your life. He's done it for me. And he's done it for many of you here this morning. You can testify to that fact that Jesus Christ has the power to turn people's lives around. Here is this demon-possessed man who was sitting clothed and in his right mind, probably for the first time in a long time. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life, he changes our heart. He changes our attitude. He changes our outlook on life. He makes so many changes. There's a total and complete turnaround in people when they believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is a perfect example of that. You recall Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. He came into a man who hated and despised Christians, who would love to execute, get rid of, or imprison every Christian he came into contact with. Yet Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life was turned around. Turned around. Completely and totally. Here's a man who hated Christians so much, and now after he got to know the Savior, he loved Christians. How do you explain that? If that is accurate, if that illustration is accurate, how do you explain the fact of a man who hated Christians so much like Saul of Tarsus did, and all of a sudden he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's totally and completely turned around? He wasn't brainwashed. He didn't pick himself up by his bootstraps and say, well, you know, I'm going to change and start loving Christians. He didn't do that. It was the power of Jesus Christ in his life. That's what Jesus Christ, our Savior, can do for us. I remember when I came to Christ years ago. One of the first things I understood was to love other people. Up until that point, I didn't know how to love people. But when Jesus Christ, our Savior, came into my life, I understood how he looked at people and loved them. He had put that same love in my heart for other people. It was amazing. A total and complete transformation for me personally. And I know many of you can attest to the same facts of how the Lord Jesus Christ has worked in your life and turned you around. Just like this demon-possessed man. And here's this demon-possessed man. I think it's interesting to notice this. In verse 19 or verse 18, that he wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to now follow the Lord Jesus and be his disciple. In verse 19, the Lord said, however, to go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Lord Jesus wanted this man to go back home to be a witness to the grace and mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be witnesses in the world of the grace, mercy, and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wanted this formerly demon-possessed man to do, is go back into his community and tell other people about what the Lord Jesus had done for him. He was supposed to be a witness for the Lord. And in verse 20, it says, when he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. He went back, this formerly demon-possessed man, went back into the cities and the towns and the villages and told other people about the Lord Jesus. And is this the same guy? Isn't it that same guy who was possessed by all these evil spirits? What's he doing here? Why, he's acting normally. What's going on with this guy? He would say, the Lord Jesus cast those demons out of me. I am a new man now. I have been changed and I have been transformed by the grace and the mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to me. That's what he would tell the people there. And you know, the Lord, as I said before, the Lord changes our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. He changes the direction of our lives. And he can change the direction of your life. And he can put in your heart a great love for other people, especially for other believers, other Christians. If you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I hope that you will. I pray that you will make that decision right now in your own heart to come to the Lord, admit to him that you're a sinner, and believe in him, trust him as your Savior. He will not only transform your life, he will forgive all your sins. He will give you eternal life. That's his promise. That's his promise to us from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Believe in him. Trust him. He's waiting for you. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow in thy presence. Father, we know, Lord, that we are in a spiritual war today. That there's evil all around us. There are the unseen forces in the world today, Father, that we have to deal with, just like this demon, poor demon-possessed man did. Yet, Father, you have given us insight. You have given us the power and the understanding that we need, that we may call upon you, Lord, in our time of need. And if the forces of Satan are attacking us, we stand behind the shield of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have been brought here this morning, Father, to hear your word, to be instructed. We pray, Lord, that the impact of your word will have its full force in our hearts this morning. We commit ourselves to you, thanking you and praising you. In the name and for the sake of our wonderful, blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.